Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are excited, as always, as we look forward to the opportunity to be able to share God's Word with you over the airways. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you set the tone of the broadcast by calling in your questions, and we will go to God's Word for the answer. Again, this is live, so you can call in and you can have your question written down, and it will be brought into us and we'll answer it. Or, if you desire, you can ask your question live on the air. But we encourage you to go ahead and get your questions in early, before the end of the program. Oftentimes, as we get later in the program, sometimes a bulk of questions would come in, and it's difficult for us to get to those questions. So go ahead and call right now. The lines are open. That number to call is 308-9564. Again, that's 308-9564. We make mention from time to time why we focus our attention on just teaching what the Bible says, or just teaching what God's Word says. Sometimes we'll bring out passages like Matthew chapter 7, where God says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. And so we have to know his will in order to do his will. Sometimes we'll bring out passages like Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, where the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we want to hear God's word in order to get faith. And then other times we'll bring out passages like Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, which just simply brings out the idea that for without faith it is impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so we have to have our faith in God. And the way we get our faith in God is by his word. And so we must know his word. And so there are questions that you have today. We want to be able to go to God's word and find the answers to those questions so that your faith will not live in men, but in the living God. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564.
Now, there's two ways to communicate with us when you call that number. Again, that's 308-9564. Both lines are available. You can have your question written down and brought into us, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. But if you would rather, you can go live on the air. That is, ask your question live on the radio, and we will go again and attempt to find what God has to say concerning the question that pertains to life and godliness that you ask. The only thing we ask if you choose to go live is we need your name, and we also need you to be ready to turn your radio down immediately when we start talking with you. And thus, that will be able to prevent confusion because there will be a delay, an echo, and cause all kind of feedback. And so we don't want that kind of feedback. We want only the feedback that comes from God himself. And thus, we'll go to the scriptures for the answers, and thus there will not be any confusion. Again, that number is 308-9564. There's one line now available. And by the way, if you were to call right now, just go ahead and let the phone ring until we can get to you. Again, that's 308-9564. Just let it ring until we are able to pick up and take your question. Now, there's another way to communicate with us. If you would rather, you can text us from your cell phone. The text line is 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line. So on your cell phone, if you'd rather communicate that way, you're first in line. We'll be able to get to your question immediately on the text line at 725-9283. And we'll be glad to take your question that way as well. Either way, you're the one that sets the topic. You set the flavor. You set the discussion. But God gives the answers as we go to the Bible and let the Bible speak. Now, if you have friends or relatives and they are out of state or in other parts of the world, they can join us right now. If you want to call them right now and let them know to go to our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com, they can hit the live stream button and also be joining us as we go to the Bible for the answers. And thus they can participate. We do want you to know, be sure to let them know that this is area code 843 that they would be calling to. So all the telephone numbers are area code 843. And they can also join us as we go to the Bible for the answers. Again, that website is www.BibleAlone.com. Not only is there a live stream, but there's also a history of the programs as well. They can download and listen to other programs over the last couple of years and be able to study at any time, day or night. We have people listening throughout the world. In Indonesia, I believe, was one place that we noticed, several places throughout the world. And so we do want you to know that that is an option as well here in the United States as well. So, again, the website's address is BibleAlone.com. And they can hit live stream right now because we are live today, the 19th of February. And so we're glad to be able to assist you as we go to the Bible for the answer.
308-9564, that's the number to call. From time to time, we also make available the opportunity to be able to meet you face-to-face by way of a home study. If that is something that you are interested in, go ahead and call the operator standing by and let her know that you are interested in a home study. And if our schedules will permit, we will try to come out and study with you and maybe some of your friends and families and do what we call a Let the Bible Speak right there in your home. That number to call, the operator standing by, to let her know that you're interested in a possible home study is 553-5157. Again, that's 553-5157. So join us right now with your question. Go ahead and call 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283.
Our first caller from a text line with the last three digits of 851, their question is Lent biblical? Well, there is a religious group today that is very popular throughout the world that does go and celebrate a period of days leading up to Easter called Lent. And there is nothing in the Bible about that. Matter of fact, the Mardi Gras that leads up to those things is obviously not in the Bible as well. And so all of those things that man has come up with as far as religious holidays that are celebrated once a year, again, there is nothing in the Bible about them. They are extra-biblical. They are man-made. Man has come up with these. There is only one day in which God has singled out for us to remember today. Now, in the Old Testament, there were several, but in the New Testament, under Christ's law, that we now live under, there is only one day that God singles out as special. In Revelation, it's called the Lord's Day. In a couple of other places, it's just referred to as the first day of the week. By the way, that would be today. It would be a weekly occurrence, not a monthly, not an annual, but a weekly occurrence. And what makes that day special is that is the day that He commands that we gather together to break bread, or to partake of the Lord's Supper, or commune with our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it uses the word communion. Chapter 11, it refers to the supper where He ate the bread and drank the cup and said, "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so we are with some oftenness to do this. However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, He did not say how often. But at the beginning of that chapter, the writer that God was using was named Paul, and he says, "Be followers of Me just as I am also of Christ." And so if we find his example of how often he partook of the Lord's Supper, the communion, broke bread to remember his death, burial, and resurrection, his suffering that he went through for us, then if we follow his example, then we will be doing exactly what he commanded there. And thus we can find that example in Acts chapter 20, and verse 7, where it brings out, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. And thus, that was the day that they, including Paul, because the verse goes on to say that that Paul was with them there, and he continued his message till midnight. And so that is exactly what we are to continue to do today. Why? Why does he expect us to do this? Well, it is the center post. It is the access. It is the actual center, the reason for our faith in what Jesus did in dying on the cross for us. And so he expects us to remember that every week. They came together for that person, for that purpose on that day. And thus that's exactly what we are to do as well. So Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we can see that that was a weekly occurrence. So to answer your question, we sure do appreciate your question, but to answer it, There's nothing in the Bible about Lent. There's nothing about Easter. There is nothing about Christmas, Halloween, and we could go on down the list throughout the world with all the religious holidays. There's only one day that God has singled out that is special, and that's the first day of the week, and that's when we're together to remember the reason for our faith, Jesus dying for our sins. The number, if you want to join us right now, we sure do appreciate your being with us and asking these questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak.
You know, Ricky, as you're talking through that question, giving the answer, I got to thinking about how important it is to be very familiar with these various days that just kind of pop up. Many of those days are religious days that people celebrate. They don't realize perhaps the meaning behind it or even the origin. And when we look in the Bible, there were at times chastisement given to God's people for observing certain days. And so it's something you definitely want to look into. I want to say thank you to the caller for calling it in, because here's apparently a situation where you didn't know exactly what it was and you really was looking for what does the Bible say on it. And again, that just shows your heart. If we look at Galatians chapter 4, you had a group of folks there that was going back into, and they were observing certain days. And here you have Paul chastising these people for that. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. Now take note of what he says about them in verse 11, or how he feels about it. He says, I am afraid for you. I'm afraid for you. He says, least I have labored for you in vain. And so because they went back to observing certain days and things, it brought a certain fear for Paul, because, again, these were people that had heard the truth, people who had obeyed the truth, and now they were drifting back to observing days, and holding them as being special, days in which God himself had not commanded. And so we want to make sure that all that we do, if we're doing something religiously, we need to make sure that it's in line with what God has revealed in his inspired word. So caller, again, appreciate your question. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak. We do have a text line. That text number is 725-9283. We're going to go ahead and take our first break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in or text your question so that we might let the Bible speak. We're going to tell you a little bit about a gospel meeting that we're going to be having coming to your area, I think. Go ahead and call the operator standing by right now if you're interested in the Bible Correspondence course. Again, that's a course that you can take in your home designed to help you in your study of God's Word. There are many people that have done it, and they have found it to be beneficial. So we want to encourage you to take advantage of it right now. Go ahead and call 553-5157, 553-5157. So join us right now here at the radio program. Again, we are live, and we are answering questions from that you're calling in or you're sending by way of text. We're answering those questions from God's Word, and so we want to encourage you to go ahead and call your questions right now, 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564, or you can send us a text question at 725-9283, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We are live, and so don't miss this opportunity to go ahead and get in your question, 308-9564. Both lines are now available. Go ahead and call in your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Thus, we are going to be letting God answer your question as we go to the Bible, and so we don't want you to miss out. The lines tend to fill up at the end of the program, so go ahead and call now your question to 308-9564. We have Darielle calling in this question and asking this question. It says, what does the Bible, or how does the Bible, define pride? And so, very good question. I don't think we've had that question before, and so that's really good. We are, to go to the Bible, the most common place where people think of pride is recorded in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. And then it's used, the actual pride in the King James Version, used about three times in the New Testament, used a great deal more than that in the Old Testament. And so in the Greek, the original word simply means self-confidence or boasting pride, and it's from a root that has a connection with the idea of a braggart or boasting. And so both of those would be applied there, and you have to look and see how that word is used in the context in which you are looking. It is listed in Mark chapter 7 and verse 22, where it brings out that thieves and covetous and wicked and deceit, lascivious and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolish, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. And so there is quite a list, and it's stuck right there at the end of this list of things that Jesus brings out, from sexual things to from the idea of theft and such. Pride is connected right with that list. And so, unfortunately, it is wrong. It is something that we should be very much aware of and not allow it to inflict our character, to cause us to become that way. And so that's the meaning of it, the idea of boasting or self-confidence to where that we would be inordinately proud of ourselves. And you might say, okay, well, I thought we're supposed to have a good self-image. And, of course, we are. But here's another way. Let's turn this coin over and look at another verse. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, it brings out, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." So he had everything that his Father had. But what he did was, verse 7, Philippians 2 and verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. One translation puts it as he emptied himself, taking a form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now, all of this follows these words in Philippians 2, beginning with verse 3. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." There is a better way, not a better way, but a way to look at that as God himself defining that. That we are esteeming others better than ourselves, and let each of you look not out on his own interest, but also the interest of others. And then Jesus, in those verses I just read, demonstrated what that looked like as far as his emptying himself and taking upon himself the form of a servant. He didn't come in royalty. He didn't come in riches. He came as a lowly servant, the lowliest among men, and emptied himself, becoming obedient even to death. And so there is the epitome of what that is supposed to look like, that we are not to be full of pride. That is, it's all about me. No, no. It's all about serving God. And thus, nothing is to be done for selfish ambition or conceit, but we are to esteem others better than ourselves. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Very good question. We sure do appreciate that very much. And hope and pray that that has been beneficial to you. That was Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, all the way down to verse 8. And so you'll be able to. And again, we appreciate it very much. I believe we have a live caller by the name of. We do not have the live name. Okay. But I think you're on the air now. Can we help you?
Yeah. Hi.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was listening to the program last week, and at the end of the program, there was a caller that had called in and asked a question about tattoos.
Yes.
And whether or not it was okay to have tattoos. And I believe the answer was that there was nothing in the Bible regarding tattoos.
No. And, I'm sorry. It was specifically nothing in the New Testament.
Okay, in the New Testament. Okay. Because I know it is in the Old Testament. In,
yes, it is.
Leviticus 19:28.
That's right.
God talks about marking the skin not to do it because he's the Lord. So, again, it looks like what's being said is that we're disallowing whatever was said in the Old Testament, and if it's not in the New Testament, that it's okay.
Well, what we're actually saying when we look at the Scripture is that the New Testament or the New Covenant was what was given to the church. And so the Old Testament, that old law that you're making reference to, was given to the Jews. That was the law of Moses. You can look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, first several verses there. And you'll see that this was God's law to his people, the Hebrews or the Jews. But once Christ died on the cross, he ushered in a new covenant. And in that new covenant is specifically for the church. What I can't do is take a covenant that God did not bind on you or I, and then try to apply those things to you. In fact, that would actually be sin. to do that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, they tried to do it, and here he brings out that they had fallen from grace. You know, if you go back to that old covenant and try to bind those things, so we just can't do it and be in a right relationship with God. What we have to do, I'm sorry, go ahead.
My question is then, so everything, the law that God said in the Old Testament, even as far as having relations with different people, with the people, how to have relations with people, how to have a good relationship with people, not to have relations with animals. So you're saying that then just because it's because grace, we are now under grace, that it's okay?
Well, and it's not us saying anything. It is what God says.
And a passage to look at is Romans chapter 15, verse 4, so whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so we can learn from the Old Testament. We can learn what God told them to do when they obeyed and what God did and when they disobeyed and what God did. But as far as the law concerning what we can do, can and cannot do, we find that within the New Covenant. And we'll find that the New Covenant would not even permit the things that you just identified. And so what you'll find most often is many things are repeated in the New Covenant. What I can't do, though, is go to the Old Covenant and bind those things when God won't allow it.
God won't allow it.
He will not allow me to bind.
It just sounds like this. Then it's okay for the world. But I guess that's why we're in so much chaos. It's because the world is in chaos, and everything is happening the way it's happening is because people aren't interpreting the Bible correctly.
Well,
I
tell you what,
that because it's the Old Testament that.
Do you have your Bible?
With, and it's in the past, and we're under grace under the new covenant. But God's law is God's law.
Ma'am, do you have your Bible?
Yes, I do.
Okay, would you turn to Galatians chapter 5 and read verse 4 to us, and you interpret it for us, and see if I'm sure we'll agree with you, because the Bible is very clear. It's just a matter of sometimes people will select verses out and totally leave some others undealt with. And so what we have to do is to see everything God has to say. And while you're turning to that, let me go ahead and encourage everyone in the radio audience to also read not only chapter 5, verse 4, but chapters 3, 4, and 5, Colossians chapter 2, Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10. All of these verses are dealing with this relationship between old and new. And if we neglect exactly what God says there, it certainly would have been a big issue in the first century, because most of the first century Christians we read about were Jews before they became Christians. And so that was a very touchy subject in the first century, and thus a great deal of the New Testament is dealing with that. And so there, if you're there in chapter 5 and verse 4, read it to us.
Okay, and let's see. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace.
All right.
Now,
what does that mean?
Now, you wanted me to interpret that, but can I go over to Galatians 5?
Well, only after you explain that to us.
Okay. But first, can I go to Galatians 5 and 19? And it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, sedations, and heresies. Now, uncleanliness is going right back to Leviticus 19:28.
But now it's in the New Testament, so therefore we have to obey it because it's in the New Testament.
Right.
But again, you haven't done what I asked you to do. Read verse 4, and explain it to us.
Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace.
So if we go back to the law, what happens to our relationship with Christ?
Well, that's what it's saying.
Okay.
Whosoever you are justified by the law. Well, it's not that we're being justified. If you're being justified, that means that you're saying, okay, if you're going through the court, you're justified by your actions that you've done. But it still says that it's uncleanliness.
Oh, I agree. You know, but
that's in the New Testament.
Thus we have to abide by it.
Without having to break it down, that still goes back to marking the body, eating blood, drinking blood. Those are still things pagans do. And that's where I just couldn't seem to understand that it was okay, because it's not okay.
No, what we're trying to do is speak as the Bible speaks, and what we answered the question is that the New Testament does not mention tattoos. there are the works of the flesh, absolutely, that you mentioned there, and some would interpret the uncleanness as involved in that. And I would not say that you were wrong by interpreting it that way at all.
So,
but now, the New Testament...
Is it okay to drink blood, then? Because there are people that are doing that, and that was part of the same scripture.
Well,
is it okay to drink blood?
Well, based on Acts chapter 15, then that would be wrong, not based upon what Moses said. Because if I go back to Moses' law to justify myself, then that divorces or estranges or separates me from Christ. So what we have to do is to listen to Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God used to speak to the fathers and the prophets. Verse 2 says, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So we have got to walk by faith. We must listen to the Son and what he says. And so based on Acts 15 is why I would answer that as wrong, not based upon what Moses said.
And Acts 15 also will aid in answering your question again, because you'll find that in Acts chapter 15, this same question comes up where folks wanted to go back to the law. They were trying to teach Christians that they had to be circumcised. And then take note of what Peter tells them. I mean, Peter used very strong language when he talks to them. He says, now, therefore, why do you test God, in verse 10, by putting a yoke on the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, you read that context, and you'll see he's talking about the law,
mm-hmm.
and by putting or trying to bind the law on a person, the law of Moses, it's like putting a yoke on them. And then he says, you're testing God. And so that's the reference I made earlier when I say God won't allow it. We just can't do it. We have to use the New Testament. But you're right in this sense. You are absolutely right that within the New Testament, there are plenty of laws to cover uncleanliness and a variety
sure.
of other sins. But what
exactly.
we can't do, if you're asking the question, can I have a tattoo, our answer from the Bible, from the New Testament, from the New Covenant, is it does not say that a person can or can't. A person would have to apply a passage of Scripture to the best of their knowledge.
Let me ask this question. God says this is his temple, to keep it holy. So by marking it is making it unholy. So why are we saying that it's okay to mark God's temple?
Now you're talking about application. You see, we can't legislate on application. I can't tell you how to apply the Scripture.
Well, no, no, no. I know, not saying that we're trying to go with legislation, because that's man. But
that's
I'm
correct.
Going by the question that the caller asked last week about tattoos.
And the
again,
answer...
because this is God's temple, we are to keep it holy. And by keeping it holy is to keeping it unmarked, not to eat of the wrong foods, not to drink wine or liquor and to get drunkard.
Now, see, these
and
are
there's
all,
a lot
these,
of things
that many
will,
of these are your applications.
Those are your applications, ma'am, not what the Bible says. And so what we've got to do is just let the Bible speak and let it stand on its own, because one day when we stand before God one day, we're not going to be listening to, no one's going to be holding our hand. It will be God on the throne judging us based upon his word, not what pastor so-and-so or my friend says or mom and dad says or even somebody on the radio says. It is what God says, and that's why we are so adamant about we're just going to stick with what the Bible says alone and leave all the applications or the principles that come from that or how it's to be unfolded up to each individual, because we're not going to be the judge. Christ is.
Well, I'm going to end my call with this.
Thank you.
I'm going to believe in the truth and the whole truth, the old and the new. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay, well, now, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How did you like Jerusalem this year?
Did
you
How
go?
Did I like Jerusalem?
Yeah, you went to Jerusalem, didn't you?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
You went to Jerusalem, didn't you?
Did I go to Jerusalem?
Uh huh. You have to go three times a year, don't you?
I'm not following you. I've never been to Jerusalem.
In the Old Testament, it says you're supposed to go to Jerusalem three times a year to offer sacrifices in a temple that's not even there. So what you said is just absolutely impossible. You can't keep the old law because the temple's not there.
Well, I guess in that case, then that's the Jerusalem. Everything is in the natural and in the spiritual. So the natural Jerusalem is over there. But we got to go to a spiritual Jerusalem.
But not the Jews. They had to go to a physical Jerusalem. And so if you're going to go back to the old law, then you to keep it all, if you offend in one point, you have forsaken it all. So
why then are we using the Ten Commandments?
We are. We're using nine of them in the New Testament. They're repeated.
So therefore, we're still applying the Old Testament.
No, it's in the New Testament.
We're to say in God's Word, the Old and the New Testament, yes, it does say that we are under grace.
So what? Did you worship today? Did you worship today?
Oh, gosh, yes. Every day. I don't just do it one day out of the week. I do
it
every day. I'm just grateful to God for everything every day.
You said keeping the Ten Commandments. Did you keep the Sabbath holy?
Thus far, yes.
And you know what day the Sabbath day is?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Do you know what day the Sabbath day is?
Well, the Sabbath day is the holy day. And
what,
now,
night, what day of the week is it?
I'm thinking it's Saturday.
You're right. So it's not today. It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. But that's why I said what I said. I keep every day.
Mm.
I do this every day. I praise God every day. I don't have to wait until the Sabbath day.
Ma'am, it is the top of the hour, so we have to go ahead and have a break. But we sure do appreciate your call, and we would encourage you to read those chapters again. You can download this program from our website later on and get those references if you didn't.
And also another passage is Hebrews chapter 8. Just read that text in its entirety as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your call. We sure
Thank
do appreciate
you.
It. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the number to go live, or you can have your question written down and brought into us. Either way, we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We are so thankful that you are taking out your Sunday afternoon to join us to go to the Bible for the answers. We do have one line available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. I believe we have another caller live standing by to ask a question. I believe you're on the air right now. How can we help you?
Well, it's not a question. I just want to, you know, give you guys thanks for not arguing or debating God's word. You took it straight to the scriptures.
Yes, that's what we have to do. Absolutely. Is that all you wanted to say?
Yes, that's it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. We sure do appreciate that. Again, the number is 308-9564, and we will do our best to just stay out of God's way before every radio broadcast. That's our prayer, that we stay out of His way and just let His word be heard. And the applications to God's word are left up to us, and thus we've got to make certain that God is the one that is being heard and not we ourselves.
It's something we want to add to the thought process of everyone listening to the program. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the first epistle of the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, there's two verses that we're going to look at where, in doing a study of the book of Thessalonians, you see the relationship that Paul had with the church in Thessalonica. We see he commended them for multiple attitudes that they have towards receiving the scriptures. And notice specifically what Paul tells them in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. He commends them for something. And so we need to look at what he said to them. Going in verse, he commends them for saying that it's the word of God that they're receiving. In verse 13, it says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as it the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. See, when you hear the word of God, when you hear God, you don't hear the men telling you. You hear what God is telling you. Especially if someone is giving you a book, chapter, verse for an answer, that's not them trying to tell you what it says. It's them showing you what God says and letting you figure out what it means, and you apply that to your lives. And so that's the purpose of us calling the program Let the Bible Speak. When you're hearing answers to questions, you should not be hearing Nick, you should not be hearing Chuck, you should not be hearing Ricky or anyone else that gets behind the mic. When you receive book, chapter, and verse from us on this radio, well, you receive book, chapter, and verse. That's God's word. That's not our words. And we're not going to sit here and give you our opinions on the word, because the program would be a lot longer than an hour and 30 minutes if you wanted to hear our opinions. You're going to hear the word of God. You're going to hear the answers of the word of God. And also, if you're still in 1 Thessalonians, turn over to chapter 4. Looking at chapter 4, he's giving them some implications about this certain group of things that they were getting into. And then in verse 7, he was talking about sexual immorality, he was talking about defrauding your brother. But then in verse 7, he goes on and says, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." Verse 8, he says, "Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit." So when you are given book, chapter, and verse for something and you reject it, well, you're not rejecting the person who gave you the answer. You're rejecting the one whom the answer came from. And so we must know that when we're hearing the word of God, it's God's word that he wrote, that he is the author of it. A lot of times there are a few books in the Bible where there's question of the authorship. Some people may say that certain passages of the Bible or certain books of the Bible were written by different people. A few letters that have Paul's name on them. Some people will actually argue that Paul didn't write some letters. Some people actually argue that Peter didn't write 2 Peter. Well, the authorship of the scriptures is only one. It's the God is the author of the Bible. The pens that he used, the people that he used, we really shouldn't get so caught up in that. We should get caught up in what the word says and how to apply it to our lives.
That's right.
We are at our time for our next break. And while we're at break, go ahead and call in your question while we are at break. The one line is open, and as well as texting. You can text in your question, so you don't have to wait for a line to be open. The text number is 725-9283, 725-9283, and the reach the program for the voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now. We do want you to know that we are honored to have you join us as we go to the Bible for the answers. The number to call in your question is 308-9564. The text number is 725-9283. Either way, you can join us by texting or by voice, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. By the way, the information we just gave you about the correspondence course, we are serious when we say it is free. It is absolutely free. We will never ask you for money. Matter of fact, please put away your pocketbooks. Let us send you a treasure that will be of eternal value. As you look into God's Word and discover what God has to say in His Word, one thing you will notice is that it is far different than what you're hearing in the pulpits across the land. Unfortunately, that's true. The Bible is so complete. Why not just let's go there for the answers? And why not take this correspondence course and see what you discover? Most of the people that we have had on the correspondence course have just rave about it. Matter of fact, let me just encourage, if someone out there that has never called to tell us what you think about the correspondence course, if you would just call in this afternoon, and we'll put you live on the air, and you can tell everyone what you got out of the correspondence course, and thus they can hear personally from you what kind of blessing you received. And so, please put your pocketbooks away and let us give you the treasure that only can come from God Himself. That number is 308-9564. And by the way, if there's someone else on the line, just go ahead and let it ring and continue to let it ring. Now remember, if you have not received the correspondence course, you can receive that now and study that anytime you like, day or night, in the middle of the night or whenever you want. And we'll have it in tomorrow's mail if you would like to go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157, 553-5157, and thus you can enroll in the course and we'll get it in the mail to you. But now, if you would like to join us live on the air, then you can call right now at 308-9564. That's 308-WJ. And Chuck, you have a question?
Yes, we have a caller by the name of Danny calling in this question. Danny's question is, how can he convince his son that the Bible is real and not everything is based on science? Well, at first I want to reiterate the point that I made right before we just went to break. When your son's hearing the word of God, he should know that it's the word of God, and he should be able to recognize that, and you should be able to show him the scriptures in a way that he's not hearing Dad, he's hearing his heavenly Father and not his earthly Father. So be sure and be careful to make sure you're giving that message to him. But as far as his son being into science, that's great. As a matter of fact, if he is into science, give him these passages of scriptures that can help him to understand that the Bible is the word of God. A lot of times in today's world, people try to put science against religion, science versus religion. There's the creation story that God created everything. Then there's the Big Bang theory, or people came from apes, or all kind of things like that. So as opposed to science versus religion, we're going to show you the passages in God's word where science is evident. There's so many verses, but the one, two of them I'm going to give you. The first is Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 22. And the second is Job chapter 26, verses 7 through 10. Now, first in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, it says, I'll start in chapter 40 verse 21 of Isaiah. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" Verse 22 is key. It says, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in." So here's my question in verse 22. It says, "He who sits above the circle of the earth." Well, if this was written thousands of years ago, how did the author know that the earth was a circle? Man didn't figure that out until 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. So if this was in the Bible the whole time, then why was there an argument about the earth being flat? And the next is Job chapter 26, verses 7 through 10. Verse 7 says, "He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing." So Job chapter 26, verse 7, "He hangs the earth on nothing." Well, people used to think all kinds of different things about the solar system, and they didn't know that the earth just hung in space. But it says here in verse 7 of Job chapter 26, "He hangs the earth on nothing." And in verse 10, it talks about the circular horizon as well. So there are scientific evidences about the Bible being a word of God. And so if you want to learn more about that, you can call the operator standing by in 553-5157 and to learn more about that. I believe we have a live caller.
Yes, by the name of Carson. Is that correct, Carson? Are you there?
No, Carson.
Okay, how can we help you?
Yes, I took the Bible correspondence course, and I would like to tell everyone who's listening out there that I have learned a whole lot from the course, not believing what man said, but going back to the Word of God. And I had a visit with Ricky Shanks one day last week. He brought me my certificate, and we have a good session. And I believe that people should really get into this and know the truth, because the truth is make you free. And it's coming from the Word of God.
Well, I sure appreciate that, and I'm glad that you got a lot out of it, and I enjoyed the visit with you as well. And so we thank you for calling in and sharing that with the people today. Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
All right, God bless you. And again, thank you so much for your interest in listening to what God has to say. Again, the number here is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And if the phone start just keeps on ringing, then just go ahead and let it ring, because we can only talk to one person at a time. And so don't get discouraged by the phone continuing to ring. We'll get to you just as quick as we can. Again, the number is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Ben calls in a question today. He's asking about Romans chapter 15, verse 4. We used that passage earlier. I believe during a live one of the live calls that came in, the passage simply says in Romans chapter 15 verse 4, "Whatever for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so Ben's question is, he says, are we learning from the New Testament or the Old Testament? Well, the answer to that question is absolutely both. We learn from both of them. We learn from the Old Testament how God treated his people when they obeyed and when they disobeyed. And there are many references in the New Testament that pulls us back into the Old Testament to understand what God was saying. You know, it's difficult to even understand salvation if you don't understand the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and that which was reaffirmed in Genesis chapter 22, verses 16, 17, and 18, where God talks about the seed, and that seed he was making reference to was Christ, and we see that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. And so we do go back to the Old Testament, absolutely, to learn from. But as far as the law that we live by, that is to say, what applies to me, well, then we live by the new covenant, that new contract that Christ ushered in upon his death on the cross. He took out the old law, nailing it to the cross. I believe that passage is Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, I believe it is. Colossians 2, 14. And so we don't want to give the impression that we're saying the Old Testament law doesn't have value. It absolutely has value. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 7, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 12, he says, therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Well, what's the problem then? He says in verse 13, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. It was because of sin that the law became a problem, because man was going to continue to sin. Therefore, he needed a savior, someone to cleanse him of his sin. And hence, God brought in a new covenant where all people could receive the cleansing of their sin. That's the covenant that we follow, a New Testament covenant. That's the covenant that the church was established under, and thus that's the covenant that we should live by. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. Ben, I hope that's been helpful. I believe we have a live caller standing by.
Yeah, by the name of Aaron. Aaron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How can we help you, Aaron? Go ahead.
I'm just sitting here with my mom that's a pastor, and I'm a young man myself. I'm 25 years old, and I wanted to call and respond to your response to the man who had the question about his son, how he could explain the word of God to him more. Well, I firmly believe the Bible says seek the old path, for is the good way, you know, and I firmly believe that what was good for the older saints, the older believers back in the day, that saved them and got them to salvation, it works today, but I firmly believe that we have to go about it a different way, explaining the word of God to the young people today, because there are a lot more temptations and there are a lot more things. So I mean that the fact that him just explaining the word of God, that's all good and well, but teenagers today have to see action. So I mean, sitting him down and just telling him that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, I mean, that's all good and well, because that's the word of God, and the word of God won't change from now. It didn't change then, because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You know, but I firmly believe that the Bible also says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, and so therefore, you know, we have to let the light shine before them. You know, they have to see actions. I mean,
I agree with you. And matter of fact, that's always been true.
Right.
That was true of Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. It
right.
brings out that not only did Jesus teach, but he did what he taught. And
true.
Thus he encourages us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so the three-dimensional word of God, when people see it put into action, has always been true. It's not just something now for the 21st century. It has always been that. And thus,
right.
I agree wholeheartedly that teaching the word is just the beginning. That gives them head knowledge. But if it's not put into action, then certainly there is something missing.
Really?
I think it was, it's been worded in many different ways. What you do screams so loudly in my ears, I can't hear a word you're saying. And
yeah.
So that has always been true, Aaron. Thank you. We sure do appreciate you calling. Any other comment?
Well, the only other thing I had, you know, because the reason why I said that is because a lot of the believers today feel that, you know, they tell the young people, you know, come to church, sit there, hear a word, and that's it, you know, and that's all you need to do. you know, and they don't feel, and it's out of naiveness from my perspective that they don't believe that, you know, it goes beyond just coming to church and hearing the word, exactly what you said.
Well, Aaron, I wanted to clear up. Early when I was talking, I was just trying to make the point that he didn't get too caught up on just him giving his son the word, his son the word, and that his son wouldn't think that, oh, well, this is my dad saying this. He still, that same word of God is going to touch his heart. If he has a seeking
Correct.
Heart, then that
Correct.
Heart's going to get touched in the word of God. And yes, I wholeheartedly agree. He does have to see those things. He has to know the reason why you're supposed to live a certain way and be let yourself be approved to God. And so those are the actions that he does need to see. And so the only point I was just trying to make was that he doesn't, you know, just get it from his dad, and his dad, because the question was worded, how can I convince my son? And so that's kind of the point that I was trying to make, let him know that it's not you as a person, you as his father, you're not going to convince him. It's the word of God that's going to touch his heart. And like Acts 2:38 says, they cut their, 2:37, excuse me, their hearts, the word cut their heart. And then in verse 38, they repented and were baptized. And then we saw that in verse 41. And so, yeah, it was about the word will cut your heart. And it's the word that does the work. The word does the power. And it's the sword of the spirit. And we see that in Hebrews 4:12. So, yes.
Thank you so much for your call. We sure do appreciate you listening.
Yes.
Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Go ahead and call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak. It's time for our break. We do want you to know the offers that we're just about to give you are absolutely free. We will not solicit any funding, no contribution. Please keep your tithes and your offerings. Do not give them to us. Let us give you treasure that will never be taken away from you, given to you from God himself, from his word. Here are details on that. We'll be glad to even send it in tomorrow's mail. We'll be right back.
We do appreciate so much everyone who's been calling in today, and do hope the things that we've shared with you has been a help to you. And again, we want to drive you back to the scripture. Please, please don't pay attention to us. And, you know, sometimes we do, not on purpose, we get in the way. We don't want to be in the way. We really try not to be in the way. We want you to hear the scriptures. So dismiss the things that you've heard us say, except for those passages that we've given you. You write those things down, you go back and you look into God's word, and you hear him. Let him speak to your heart. Please let us encourage you in that. I just told you about a Bible correspondence course that's available to you. If you go ahead and call the operator standing by, again, that number is 553-5157. That is designed to get you back to the scriptures so that you can answer the questions based upon the scripture. And again, you're hearing God. Your faith should not be in man, but it should be in the Most High God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So join us right now with your question. Go ahead and call here at the station, 308-9564. It is a live call-in radio broadcast, so you can call your question in right now, 308-9564. Milton called in this question. He says, explain Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Milton, we sure appreciate you listening. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. This is a good passage if you think about what we've been talking about concerning the law of Moses and whether or not it applies today. And what it shows us in this text is that if I try and go to the law of Moses and I grab one thing out of it, well, then I'm bound by that law to do it all. And that was really the curse associated with the law. If I do one thing, I got to do it all. And the problem is I can't do it all. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul writes, he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's the curse. If you're under the law, you've got to do everything in the law. And the problem is you can't. That's the curse of the law. Verse 11, then he goes on to bring out why we don't have to hold to that law. Verse 11, he says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. And so our obligation is to live by faith. Now, Milton, I want to add a couple of passages right in the same text, because it's going to highlight that if I go to the law and I don't continue in all of it, I'm under a curse. The Bible goes on to show that Christ freed us from that curse. In verse 13 of the same text, the Bible says Christ has redeemed. That word redeemed means to buy back. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And so in Christ's death, he became a curse, taking away the curse of the law, taking away the law, ushering in a new law to which we must all submit ourselves to and obey. Very good question, Milton. I encourage our listeners to read again. I think Ricky said this earlier. Read Galatians chapter 3, all of it. It's very rich and will give clarity. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
We had a caller just call in about the Sabbath, and it fits right into what you were explaining there. And so they want to know, explain the Sabbath. Well, in the Old Testament, there was a Sabbath that was given by under the law of Moses. It was that they were to rest on the Sabbath and do no work. Now, on the seventh day, the same day that corresponds to the day that God rested in the beginning, when God created the earth and all its creation in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. And that is the day that God built into the children of Israel, that they were to keep the Sabbath holy on that day. That was for the Jews. That was not for the Gentiles. That was for their purpose that God had. He not only built in a Sabbath on the seventh day, the land was to rest every 7 years. And matter of fact, on the seven times 7 years, they were to not only have the year of Jubilee, but they were to have no crops whatsoever. And so it has the meaning of rest. That's what it means. And so hopefully that's been beneficial to you. As far as it fits into the book of Romans, the word Sabbath is not in the book of Romans. But Romans does deal with the Old Testament and New Testament quite a bit. And in chapter 1 of Romans, he deals with Gentiles. Chapter 2, he nails down the Jews, how that they also were breaking the law. And in chapter 3, everybody sins and comes short of the glory of God. And so hopefully that has been helpful to you. Again, that would be part of the Old Testament law that they were to keep. In Exodus chapter 16, he explains it further in Exodus chapter 20 and also Exodus chapter 31. He gives all the digits, all of these chapters in the book of Exodus. Again, thank you so much. We sure do appreciate your call very much. We didn't get your name, though. Michael calls in this question from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. And his question is, are we still going by evil things and good things we've done? Has God already erased our sins? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14, even when this was written and part of that law, it brings out there the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God or have an awesome respect for God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is still true. That is that we're supposed to keep his law and do his commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Now, what we have to do is to look and see how does God judge what is good and evil in this age that we now live in. Well, Christ in his covenant is the one that will have to define what is good and evil. In the Old Testament, there was good and evil as determined by the Sabbath. In the Sabbath, if they went out and worked, there's one example where someone even picked up sticks on the Sabbath day and they were stoned to death for that. And so obviously that is not the law that we go under today. So that is not considered evil today. Today there is a new day that God has given in which he expects us to hold as reverent, and that is the first day of the week. Not that we are not to work, because he never says that, but this is the day we gather together to worship him in spirit and in truth. We are to partake of the Lord's Supper. And also, it limits also our contribution. Then when we give to the Lord, it was specified to be done on this day, the first day of the week as well. Those passages, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, Acts chapter 20, and verse 7. Michael, I hope that's been helpful to you. Now we're supposed to go by what God determines what is good and what is bad based upon what Christ's law said. It's time for us to take our last break. We do want you to know that we are are anxious to be able to share with you the blessings that are contained in His Word, and thus we expect nothing in return except the God Himself to be glorified. And so if you've never enrolled in this correspondence course, make certain that you take advantage of this. Also, those of you that are in the West Ashley area and downtown area, we have secured a location for us to meet face-to-face. We would be honored to meet you. Here are the details about that. That's coming up March the 2nd, 3rd, so mark your calendars. This is very important. It's only a couple of weeks away, so get ready for us to be able to meet face-to-face on March the 2nd, 3rd. Here are the details. We'll be right back.
This is our last segment, so we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions. You can take advantage of the Bible Correspondence Course by calling the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157. And also be mindful of the fact that we'll be coming to your area, West Ashley, for a gospel meeting, a Let the Bible Speak, if you will, in your area, so you can come and ask questions as well as hear a portion of God's Word. We encourage you to come out if you can. But right now, go ahead and call your questions in at the radio station, 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564.
We have a caller texting in this question. The last three digits of their phone number is 930. Their statement is, Solomon wrote a proverb that says, as in the water face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. Well, believe it or not, I was able to find it. It's Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 19, and it does say, as in the water face reveals face, so a man's heart reveals the man. And so it's talking about a mirror, the idea you can see your face in the mirror. And a man's heart also reveals who he is. That's what it's talking about. Again, that was Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 19. We do have time if you want to go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Yolanda texts in this question. She texts in a passage of scripture for design for encouragement. I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And so I'll just read that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, but to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. We sure appreciate that passage. Some of your translation may say in verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And all of that is the idea, let's focus our attention on the word of God and spend less time going back and forth. And here in this text it says, striving about words to no profit. Our goal should be always is just to listen to what God says and to put it to practice. We sure appreciate you texting that in, Yolanda, and appreciate you listening. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number, 308-9564.
The reason we are so careful to make certain that we go to the Bible for all those answers is because we could spend days just talking about our applications of the Scriptures. Isn't that interesting that we get verbose and we just can elaborate to the nth degree? But God is very concise and very clear, and thus He's able to judge us that way. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So if the Bible is sufficient for every good work, then what in the world would we ever do getting in the way of God? Because God is the one that's going to have the final say, and we thus must just let Him speak. And we try to keep our mouth shut and just let God be the one heard. There's a thousand ways that we could apply passages of Scripture. But what we need to do is understand God has the authority. His word is that authority. And thus, we're going to let the Bible speak. It's so easy for us to come up with applications. It's so easy for us to say, well, this is what it means to me, and this is the way it looks in my life. But I'd rather look and see what did it look like in Christ's life what did that look like in Paul's life, and make that application rather than our applications today, because we can be prejudiced. We can be prejudiced about our preconceived ideas on what it's supposed to be and what it's supposed to look like. And then long after the our ideas or our preconceived ideas or our applications are heard, then the scriptures will be forgotten. And thus we have left the doctrine of Christ. Thus, what we need to do is just speak as the Bible speaks. And then God will be the one that will sort it all out on the judgment day. And thus it will not be pastor so-and-so, preacher so-and-so, or my mom and my dad. What we need to do is understand faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when God is the one that's in charge, then that's the way it's supposed to be. And thus we're going to be able to be pleasing to him, and he may be able to say to us one day, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. Again, the number is 308-9564. If you want to call in your question right now, we'll be able to get it on the air and go to the Bible for it. 308-9564.
Rhonda calls in, and Rhonda, I just want to let you know we did get your question. You asked us to explain a series of passages, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, chapter 13, verse 8, 13, verse 10, 8, verse 9, Galatians 6, 2, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, James 2, I think it's James 2, verse 8. And so that's going to take quite a bit of time, time which we don't have at the end of the program. But what we will do, we will start the program off next week, and we'll probably break up your at least as we explain some of these verses among ourselves to try to answer it. And then you have a question: is there a difference between the Ten Commandments and the ordinance? Well, the quick answer, and we'll come back and we'll answer this again next week: the Ten Commandments was part of the law of God. Oftentimes we think of the Ten Commandments as being the law or the commandments, but there were 600 plus commands in the Old Testament law, and that was the commandments. The Ten Commandments were more of the general commandments that was given to Moses when he was on the mountain, and he came down and he gave that to the people, and then there was an additional commandments that God would give that the people, the Jews, would have to hold to. The word commandment and ordinance carries with it the idea of law, so I mean it's really the same idea, it's the laws of God, and we have to hold to those things. In the New Testament, we have commandments. No, we do not have the Ten Commandments. We have some of the commandments that were in the Old Testament. They were brought over in the New Testament law because many of those commands were, I'm going to say, universal in principle. For example, when God says, love your neighbor as yourself or love your neighbor, we find that in the Old Testament law. We find that again in New Testament law, but also in New Testament law, we find that God raises the ante just a little bit by saying, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And so that was brought over into the New Testament law. We have the ordinance of God or the law of God also as part of the new covenant. And so we have ordinance, law, and those are just interchangeable words. That's all they are. But we'll dig deeper into this on next week and when we start the program. So thank you so much for calling in, Rhonda. You've given us at least a subject matter to get started with on next week's broadcast. Looks like it's just about time for us to go.
Yes, and we want to thank everyone for joining us today. Remember, even after the program is over, you can continue to call the Dial a Bible Study at 553-5157. You can call that anytime, 24/7. It is a short message from God's Word that we are happy to share with you each day. If you're on the run, you can be able to pick up the phone and get that message each day. We're glad to share that with you. Right now, there's still a live operator answering that phone, and so make certain that you enroll in the correspondence course, and thus you will be able to be having this lesson, the lesson sent to you live even tomorrow. Again, thank you so much for calling us. We are thrilled that you've joined us today. Hopefully, in your search for joy and happiness and peace, that will come, but it'll only come as we let the Bible speak.